Cherubim and Seraphim by Mary M. Bodie. And before the throne, as it were, a sea of glass like unto crystal, and in the midst of the throne and round about the throne, four living creatures full of eyes before and behind. Revelation 4, verse 6, Revised Version. These living ones, or cherubim, have a most wonderful place in the counsels of God. They are invariably seen in connection with the display of judicial authority, one with the throne of God. The very first view we get of them at the gate of the Garden of Eden is in this character, guarding the entrance to paradise with sword of flame, Genesis 3:24. They were witnessing to the holiness of God's house, of which that earthly garden was the figure, and they were also witnessing of the righteousness of God in putting sinners, Adam and Eve, out of his presence. Later, we see them as one with the mercy seat, which was made of pure gold, figure of divine life, and attached thus to the throne of God. We do not get their description here, but we see their wings hiding them and suggesting their heavenly activity. And we see their faces directed toward each other and toward one common object, the blood upon the mercy seat. Exodus 25, verses 17 through 20. They are here witnessing to the righteousness of God in demanding atonement for sin, and they are approving of his mercy in securing it. Then we view them again in the most holy place in the temple built by King Solomon. Those were made of the olive tree and covered with gold. They still veiled the mercy seat as part of the throne of God, 1 Kings 8:6. But in the Book of Consummations, the revelation which John gives us of the Son of God, we get a further description of these glorious creatures. We behold them in heaven as part of the throne, in the midst of the throne. Also we read, there was a lamb as it had been slain, God's righteous propitiatory. These are the real cherubim which John beholds. The others were but figures. The prophet Ezekiel gives us a glimpse of them in his vision of judgment, and we are also indebted to Isaiah for another view, and these are always seen in connection with the throne of God. They are intimately and inseparably a part of the executive righteousness of his throne, which requires and finds its satisfaction in the blood of atonement. They experience a marvelous union with Christ. From the beginning of Ezekiel's vision of them through John's vision and to the consummation of Isaiah's vision, all the judgments of God are in their power. They are the executors of his wrath. Christ himself assured his disciples when they inquired of his return that it would be as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west. It will be devastating and destructive, as the next verse implies. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. Matthew 24, verses 27 and 28. The great supper to which all the fowls of the air will be invited, Revelation 19, verses 17 and 18, will result from the judgment which will precede the coming reign of the Son of Man. We emphasize the fact, which is especially interesting and instructive to us, that it is not Christ alone, but his people also, his body, who will have part in the thrilling scenes of the day of the Lord. We notice the significant fact that the living creatures will call the wrath of God into evidence. Revelation chapter 6. What John says. We will notice John's record of the cherubim first, for though he was the later prophet, yet he gives us an earlier phase of their appearance than Isaiah, at the beginning of God's righteous dealings with the world. The very first moving picture which he throws upon the screen is connected with the throne of God. This scene is exhibited in the beginning of the next age and immediately preceding the revelation of Christ as Lord of Lords and King of Kings. His judgment of the earth must precede his reign over it. Thus, the judge is introduced first, then the ruler. These living ones are in perfect accord with the movings of that judicial throne, one with all the will of God, in sympathy with all his ways in the universe, and ready to execute his commands. The eyes before and behind refer to their fullness of vision, full of light. They see in every direction at once. Nothing is hid from their sight. All God's purposes are fully known. The sevenfold Spirit fills them. The first creature was like a lion, and the second creature like a calf, and the third creature had a face as of a man, and the fourth creature was like a flying eagle. Revelation 4, verse 7, Revised Version. Notice the marvelous similarity of these glorious creatures to the Son of God as characterized by the four gospel records. They each have four faces. One, like a lion, featuring the kingly character of Christ, which Matthew emphasizes. One, like a calf, the lowly servant, character of Mark's record. One, with a face as of a man, the perfect human, which Luke portrays. And one, like a flying eagle, the Son of God, the heavenly one presented by John, who flew out from the bosom of the Father and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. John 1, verse 14. Here is a special item of importance. John does not refer to the third one as like a man, but that he had a face as of a man. This is undoubtedly an evidence that these cherubim are redeemed men, perfect humans, spirit, soul, and body, grown up into the measure of the fullness of Christ, the last Adam. The other faces are just likenesses, symbols of the inward characteristics. But this was a reality. He was a man. These celestial beings present the highest earthly forms and powers of creation in a harmonious and perfect unity. The numbers 4 and 6. And the four living creatures having each one of them six wings. Revelation 4 verse 8, Revised Version. The wings speak of the activity of the living creatures. They are equipped perfectly to execute the Lord's commands. Spirit, soul, and body are symbolized in the completeness of redemption. No limitation nor infirmity is visible in their service. Ezekiel sees only four wings on each of these divine humans because he views them as on earth. That is, that glorious company of which he gives us a moving picture is seen on earth. He sees them around the throne of the Son of Man. They are a part of that judgment throne. They are in perfect harmony with all its movings and workings. In fact, they are the workers, the agencies, by the power of God to bring to pass the will of God, but they are fitted for earthly activity only as seen here by Ezekiel. Hence the earth number of four is emphasized in their wings. Spirit, soul, and body are alive unto God and are engaged actively in his service. Isaiah, as John, sees six wings upon these glorious beings. He informs us that with two of these propellers they did fly. With two of them they covered their faces, and with two they covered their feet. Isaiah 6 verse 2. He visions them at a later period than Ezekiel and John. Christ is shown as on his throne in Isaiah's description of them. Hence their activity is partially obscured in the glory of the throne of God. They are beheld as resting in a work accomplished. Judgment is symbolized by the inspired picture which Isaiah threw upon the screen. In Revelation 6, we view these same living ones as actually calling into action this very judgment. For when the Lamb as the judge opens the seals, the unfulfilled counsels of God, one of the living ones with a voice of the noise of thunder exclaims, "Come!" Immediately, the wrath of God, figured by the different colored horses, begins to break forth upon a Christ-rejecting, Satan-filled world. And they were full of eyes within. Their activity is in the light. They have undimmed vision regarding God's purpose for his strange work of judgment. They have the mind of Christ concerning the counsels of God, and they are ready and quick to fly to execute his will. And they rest not day and night, saying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come." Revelation 4, verse 8. They are unceasingly active, yet never tired, for they are partakers of the divine nature. They continually bear witness to the holiness of God, that he is righteous, and that all his actions in the past, in the present and even in judgment proceed from this source. Holiness becometh thine house, O Lord, forever, is their testimony. Psalm 93:5. They lead in the worship of heaven, for when they give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, the 24 elders who are associated with them fall down and worship him that liveth forever and ever. The 4 living ones and 24 elders constitute the first rank of the redeemed. Who they are? These are redeemed men, not simply angels, as is plainly evident in Revelation 5. There we see them in connection with the 24 elders, while the Lamb, as it had been slain, is in their midst as one with them. They fall down before him and worship, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. Observe that they are called saints, which surely is conclusive evidence that they have been sinners, for it is only sinners who become saints. But there is more. They sing a song with which the redeemed are all more or less familiar, that is, with the essence of it, and which they only can sing, the song of redemption. It is a new song. It has never been sung before. These favored ones will lead the heavenly choir and teach the later companies how to sing the glorious anthem to the Lamb. Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. Revelation 5:9. They acknowledge the worthiness of the Lamb to judge the world which he has redeemed by his blood. They acknowledge their own unworthiness in that they needed redemption. They are gazing upon a blood-sprinkled mercy seat and owning both the justice of God in demanding atonement and the mercy of God in providing it. They are witnesses to the universe of the righteousness as well as of the grace of Jehovah, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty. Exodus 34:7. Marvelous words. Even the angels, myriads of them, are constrained to follow their example and ascribe glory to the Lamb. But notice they do not sing redemption's story, though the mighty praise meeting continues until every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth has praised the Lamb. The living ones, by the compelling power of their glorious anthem, have led them all. Thus we see that these are wonderful human beings, most majestic and sublime, with an office and place in the throne that is surpassed by none other except the Lamb himself. This is the view that John has of them, just previous to the great day of the Lord.